Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, and welcome to my guest, Christina. How you doing, Christina?
I'm doing good this evening.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about what we were talking about, but, you know, the show kind of came in and said, okay, you got 5 seconds, so I didn't really get a finish to tell you. But it was the ideal. The lady came in after. It was talking about the ideal that she was she had an impression about your energy, your light, as she called it. She says that we reflect each other because we have such great light, as in light workers. But she also said something, and it was kind of funny too, because I was just sitting there talking to her, and she just kind of started blurring this stuff out. I'm going, okay, thank you, appreciate that. And she goes, oh, but you don't understand. I said, but to both of you guys together can be a blinding light, but it's actually one of those things that lighten the path for a lot of people. So you guys are doing a great job. So I was like,
aww.
Yeah, so I was like, wow, that's kind of great. That's like one of the best comments I've ever had with anybody on the show. And yeah, I had to have a connection with a person I already have, which I already knew, but it's great to get those confirmations from time to time.
Yeah,
that's
you call it.
Yeah, I was like, wow, okay. So
especially when I go through my daily life on a regular basis, wondering, you know, if anybody really sees me and spend so much time alone that when somebody does threaten to spend time with me, I panic. So I'm like, I don't think I'll be very good company. I'm out of practice.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, he was saying you guys are very lucky to have each other in your lives. And then she said to me, was like, you're very lucky to have her. I was like, okay, I got to go because I got to sit and recover from this. But
Aww. No,
it's just the idea, you know, certain things I was already feeling anyway. Confirmation that morning, it was Friday morning too. I'll tell you one thing I'm not going to do anymore is have a Thursday night show, because I sit on the Thursday night show, right? I sit there for 2 hours doing the whole freaking thing by myself. No callers,
no
nothing. Yeah, I was just sitting there, okay, up with stuff and talking and stuff. And I was there talking to my angels going, I need some information on some things. So I was just talking and talking. And finally, this lady calls in, and she was like, so how many callers you got in the queue? I said, well, hey, it's you right now, so let's just get talking. And we talked for a while. And I was just like, whoa, man. And it was actually a phenomenal show, but I was just exhausted afterwards. Because I didn't realize at the moment, until I looked at the freaking timer, it was a 3-hour show. So I basically did 2 hours and 20 minutes by myself. And then I finally had this lady, probably longer than that with the lady, but it was incredible. It was just, I've never been that tired in my life. But it's been kind of crazy this week anyway, because I've been exhausted for some reason. So, back to you. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you did it Thursday night, and you also did one Friday, was it afternoon or Friday morning?
No, it was actually 10 o'clock in the morning.
Aye, aye, aye. Yeah, I'd be tired too if I was you.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. It was like, we're at the radio show. And I forgot, with the radio show, I actually went on a random for about 4 hours. It worked until 4 o'clock in the morning. And I got back up 6 hours later, which actually for some reason, I woke up a little sooner than that. And then I sort of just jumped right into the whole thing, go, okay. I was almost tempted to say, forget this. And I said, nah, we're going to do this anyway. Just felt, it was one of those things, you ever have that prompting and say, okay, I got to do this show. And then those people came in and said, oh, like, on Friday morning, so I was glad I did that. And then today was another thing, too. I'm sitting there basically packing my shop up and about ready to come back to the house. I still kept getting this prompting, but nobody was coming up, you know? And all of a sudden, these four women just showed up and said, do you do palm readings? You guys do palm readings, right? I said, yeah, I do. And she said, do you do the readings? I said, no, I'm actually, if you want to, I'll go get my grandmother. And they go, really? I said, no. You know? And then they go, really? Well, maybe your grandmother's better than you are. I said, well, if you want to dig her up, go right ahead. So she was like, really? I said, no. I mean, my grandmother's not in the graveyard. She's out and about doing stuff like she always does. She can't sit still. And they go, okay, that's better. Yeah. My friend was.
There are no angels can't hold her down.
No, she's actually come to my, when I was living in Ohio, I came to my apartment, come to town, and folded my clothes up for me, turned the lights out, told me it was time to go to bed, told a date to get out of my house. So, you know, do a donor's job,
aww,
right? Oh, tonight we're going to do this one thing, too. We're going to sit there and ask people as they come on the show, what's your favorite guardian angel? Well, not guardian angel, I'm sorry, archangel. Maybe you have a favorite archangel, maybe a Ascended Master or something like that. And we actually have a book here called Archangels and Ascended Masters by Dorian Virtue, so we got things covered. I actually went through this thing today because I did a lot of readings today. I've been doing, actually want to get together with you and go over some of those cards that I gave you and the idea of giving you some insights what you can do. Because I was sitting there looking at my cards today, and I was just noticing the detail in these cards and also noticing things I haven't noticed, patterns. There was one card in here, Archangel Ariel. And when you look at it, you see the lion, you see this lady standing next to the lady, I mean to the lion, and I just happened to notice there's this ribbon in the background. But when you look at the ribbon, it's in the figure of an eight. So I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I've actually seen that one several times. On several readings I've done today, I was just practicing and stuff, you know, and asking questions, going, okay, I keep getting this freaking one card all the freaking time. And then I started thinking about the cards you were talking about, Michael. And as I was thinking about the card Michael, the card Michael you get, and then Michael came up on my freaking reading going, okay, do I add to the rest of the thing and just really give me more stuff to think about?
Mm-hmm.
That was impressive. So what's your favorite card? What is your favorite archangel?
I don't really know that I have a favorite. Although this whole week I keep getting the Mystique card. I'm like, okay, stop it.
What is it?
It's Mystique. It's in the one angel card you gave me, the smaller box. And there's one card in there that's called Mystique.
Is that an archangel or just an angel?
It is. Hang on just a second. Gotta learn my alphabet here. Hang on. Oh, there it is. It's like a horse or a unicorn. The horse. The dark horse coming out of darkness. And it says, keep charging ahead and don't take no for an answer. Expect miraculous solutions to appear. It says, resist the urge to bend or to please others. In the end, these individuals will be pleased by the outcome. You are following a divine course, and others may not be privy to the same vision that you're following. Do your best to explain this vision to others involved, but don't feel the need to defend your actions. Look at my picture. I'm coming out of the darkness and into the light. So are you. You know what you're doing, and we in heaven are here to back you up fully. Okay. Even though this week has been nothing but, okay, maybe I'm pushing too hard. Maybe I'm not explaining myself well. Or, you know, what's going on? Because every time I turn around, I'm being told something, and it's like at the very last minute, and I'm going, and you don't think it was important to tell me this sooner?
Wow.
Because it kind of like messes with what I have to do or what I'm trying to do. Oh yeah, so that's what I say. Sometimes I have a hard time feeling like I'm doing what I'm supposed to, because a lot of times you feel left out of what's going on. So. So yeah, I keep getting that Mystique card. So I guess that's the angel's way, you know, universe's way of telling me that it may be uncomfortable or it may be, you know, frustrating, but you know, you're supposed to be doing what you're supposed to be doing. Like, okay.
Yeah, I understand that one.
Can you get other people, you know, on the same line of thought too, please? It would be so helpful.
I don't know. It's one of those situations. Look at my freaking week. Going, okay, it's been very difficult too. But mine's been more the idea of letting go and letting God, just letting go and just allowing things to happen. I'm sitting there going, okay, that's easy. No, I thought. It's one of those things. It's just so much compatible, you know. Well, let me put it this way. There's some people in your life that you have so much compatibility with in the idea of what you see that you're not allowing yourself to actually live.
Right.
So I was like, I get it. But it's one of those things you also have a tendency when you focus on the cards themselves. They bring a lot of things from the past, too, things you've already done, so you can actually make a different decision and realize what you've done in the past that brought you to this point where you can actually make that decision better. So I'm seeing the whole thing, but shoot, this week, there has, that's what I was telling you too, when I said to him, decided to give the money to the freaking landlord anyway and give him the freaking late charges too, that I felt like something was going to happen positive. And what happened was, is the owner of the building pulled me to the side and asked me if I wanted a smaller unit at a cheaper price to try to help me out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another friend of mine who lives on the second floor. She came to him and reduced his rent by $180.
Wow.
So there was, you know, I could understand you see things happening and stuff like that, but got to be true to yourself and focus and keep going forward. And that was kind of amazing, too, because I was like, I want my rent reduced, too. I want to move. But there's been a lot of other things that happened, too. But that was like, I was listening to your card. That card really describes you a lot. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, well, yeah, definitely, because I have a lot of self-doubt about those decisions I'm making and the things I'm doing because, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't make sense. It's not logical, and I was raised to make sure that things made sense and that they were logical.
Yeah, I know, but you got to let go of that logic, right?
Oh, yeah.
You got to let go of logic. Yeah, for miracles to happen. I'm just saying, well, what are miracles anyway, right? Miracles are things that defy reality.
Yeah.
Logic. Yeah, it's like this. The universe is not punishing you or scolding you. They're just saying, we understand. So therefore, you know, we all got to work through things. You know?
True.
And it's like crazy. But, you know, like today, it was crazy. Today was like one of those things. Nothing happened all freaking day. I'm sitting there going, it was a beautiful day. It hit maybe about 55. And since we've had some cold weather, 55 felt good. But it was just like, you know, you keep getting that prompting. I think the one thing I think the hardest thing here is the ideal timing. Because I think we have to realize one thing about angels and guides. They're in a dimension, there is no time.
Right.
So they see things happening when they see things happening. But the ideal putting any kind of time on it, it's like you're on your own. Because I have no idea, I have no concept of what time is all about because where we're at, it's infinity, you know. Things go on forever. And it's the idea of looking at yourself, too. I think it's why we have to let go of the logic and tap into our spiritual selves because that's when we start getting that sense of realizing that timing realistically is up to us. When we're ready to let down the resistance, that's when we start seeing things move forward. Intensely, too. Because it's like the more, because I mean, that's the thing I keep getting the messages most about is the idea of finding more ways to just continuously keep letting go. And they said the more you continuously let go, the more you enjoy what's going on, and the more you see things for what they are. Not the ideal. People go, oh, really, what's going to happen? I said, no. See, that's what I'm saying. A lot of us go negative. Okay, see things for what they are. Oh, really, is there something I'm missing? Yeah. All the happiness and all the things and all these blessings have been happening. You're not getting them all, or if you did, you wouldn't have no worries at all. And somebody does notice you all the time, which I think you know that.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just an amazing person. It's great for me to sit there and work with you with doing this because I get to see how amazing you are because it's just one of those things I can sit back. I feel comfortable with you, too, when it's like we're doing a show and you just cut in and do something. I just step back and go for it. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's... No, I'm just saying. That's what I was telling you before when I sit here and said, just speak your mind. You know, just let yourself out when you do the show. I've already seen you. I already know what you're capable of doing. I just want to see you do it. And you're not stepping on my toes. You're just stepping out. Right?
Right.
You're still there?
Well, yeah. I'm just saying it's one of those things that sometimes it's, you know, careful what you wish for.
Mm-hmm. What? Did we actually get to the idea, what is your favorite archangel, or did we just focus on a card?
I haven't really thought about it very, very hard because, you know, in my upbringing, you're always you know, only archangels, Protestants recognize are Gabriel and Michael. And then later on, I learned about there being Raphael and like another and another one. So it's kind of like I only know like four of them.
Ugh.
So it's like all the other ones, I don't really know much of. So I can't really say, what a favorite is because I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Every time I do a reading on you, you come up as the Empress, and the Empress is actually backed by Archangel Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
It's speaking one's mind and realizing how powerful one is. And actually, it's been kind of crazy. Sometimes when the readings I do, it's you're the Empress, I'm the Emperor. And the ideal, Hindel is the ideal of insight and spiritual teacher. And Gabriel is the writer and one who, it's like power, but also empowerment. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Once you feel empowered, it's the idea you start focusing on what you can do for the world, because Archangel Gabriel also backs up writers, artists. I actually have a book, too. And it's like, I'm just saying, I've actually done this, and I'm, I've been doing readings and stuff, so I would tend to suggest to keep things going from day to day. But you always come up with Gabriel. Even in the smaller ones, you always come up with Gabriel. And then with my deck of cards, which is actually backed to, I think it's wands are backed up by Gabriel. Wands are basically building, construction going forward, admiring what you've done and that kind of stuff. But Archangel Gabriel is also an angel that's, what the name means, gods. What actually says, God is my strength. Or, it's Gabriel is a female, too. Just thought you guys would know that. But this angel, this list of things that this angel does, insists on, it's actually been said that Gabriel is usually there because of adopting a child, but I think Gabriel is also the one that told Mary about Mary and, what's the other one? Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
About their upcoming births. So Gabriel's always been the idea of adopting a child, and it's kind of funny, too. With some of the backgrounds you've had and some things you've gone through. That makes sense?
Oh, yeah. Well, Gabriel is the messenger. He brings the message. He brings the purpose. He brings, with him, the word.
Yeah. Right. Messages. Gabriel's always been on that one card for me anyway, and the messenger, page. A page can be a messenger, too. But also, what I was seeing here was the television and radio work, helping people to do radio stuff and that kind of stuff. So, and then journalism and writing. So, gives you some insights and some things. I always tell people flat out. You sit there and go, I had this one lady tell me that too. We used to get this card quite a bit, and she said, I'm not a writer. And I had told her she was. It wasn't until like the third time, and then she got this card called Creative Writing, where she actually said, well, maybe I am. I thought she was very difficult. But once she saw it, that's why I guess I would like, when I like doing cards. I don't need to use cards, but people like that visual. And that's what I was telling you. One thing I wanted to share with you was these cards and the idea, those ones that I gave you, those archangel, or those angel tarot, the visuals. And when you look at those cards and you really just kind of like focus on them. And because a friend of mine was sitting there telling me, she goes, well, you just sit there and look at the cards. You read what it says on the bottom. That's how you do readings, right? I'm like, no. I said, let me show you something. And I picked a card out, and I started focusing on this card and everything I visually saw on this card. And the one thing we did yesterday, too, was for this one guy, we did like, it was four cards that had something to do with water. And then we had the water cards. Well, he's also on a project of actually promoting this healthy water. Which he told me later on, said, well, there was water in that freaking reading. And the reason there was so much water in there is because of this project. And there was some people spiritually backing it up that he didn't think they were backing it up. He thought they were using spirituality in a disguise of being egotistic, focus on, look at me. And then the cards basically said, yeah, exactly. They're focusing on themselves, and they keep telling you that they're going to do this, this, and this. I said, but really ask yourself how many times have they ever lived up to their promises? And he says, they procrastinate and they keep putting it back. I said, well, they're using spirituality to justify their procrastination. And then he looked at me and said, man, that is so round the money. I said, well, great, but what are you going to do? That's the key. What are you going to do? Because I told him he should definitely keep going forward with the water in this, I really can't remember the water itself. But I told him, I said, you're really on the right track. And you should keep going forward, but with different people. So it was kind of a crazy situation. I don't know. What are you laughing for?
Well, while you were talking about that, I was using the big deck of cards you gave me. And the first, after shuffling the first card I got was the Queen of Earth. It says, make time for those around you. Make a sensible approach. Deal with challenges in a kind and understanding manner. And it's thoughtful, creative, warm, sensible. And, you know, it's dealing with, you know, money and things like that. And then the second one was the Empress, Archangel Gabriel. And then the third one was the World, Archangel Michael, with the infinity sign and everything. I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I will shut up now and just do what I'm supposed to. Ah.
No, just take a deep breath. You'll be okay.
Yeah. Oh. So. Awfully quiet tonight.
Am I? Are you? Am I? What?
No, I just say well, out there in general, it's awfully quiet.
It was really quiet. But today it wasn't. This is the thing about Manitou Springs. It's quiet. But today it was, like, really crazy. And he's like, people think, okay, you got a lot of people in town, so you're going to get a lot of business. Think again. It's the idea. It's Manitou Springs, so you never know. You cannot predict anything here.
Oh, God, no. Yeah,
I was sitting there talking to people, and they're just like, it, you know, you were talking about all the different characters of people here. Boy, are you right about that, because I think I met them all today. But, and there was one guy, he's a really cool guy. I'm not really sure how to take him sometimes, but he comes down and he tells me, so we went down in front of the Mate Factor, and we actually just took chalk and started writing all kinds of different affirmations and all kinds of sayings and quotes and stuff and just covered the side and the front of all the sidewalk. I was like, really? I was just wondering what promoted him to do that, because if you met this guy, I think in some ways he might be the last one you think would do that. But he got a bunch of people, and he's always coming uptown. I'm not really sure about his story, but he's always giving stuff to people. He's always helping people out. He'll buy a bag of donuts, and he'll sit there and intensely sit down with a bunch of people just so he could share with them. You know?
Aww.
Yeah, it was like when we had the flooding here. It was amazing that it thought it was going to take 3 days to get all the sand and gravel out of here. If you would have seen the arcade in just that area, and that one little section, there was like at least 3 feet of just gravel and dirt and just garbage, you know. And they were actually telling people to be careful about the idea of volunteering because there was some, you know, toxic stuff in there too. But it was amazing how everybody in freaking town just got together and they thought it was going to take 3 days. They actually almost had it done in one day.
Yeah.
So this town, you consider sometimes you go in going, wow, some people here are selfish. But it was amazing in situations like that. I think they happen for a reason. Just to get the community to come together and realize what we do have here and what we got going on. I mean, I'm kind of surprised and sad about some of the businesses that are going out of here because, I mean, there's a couple of them I didn't think would ever be the ones to be moving out of here. If anything, I thought they were like the foundation here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Adams, I'm not sure about how much that's going to affect everything because Adams is like a major thing here, you know?
Oh, wow.
So I guess we're going to see how that's going to happen. But, I mean, Adams is not going out of business, no way. They're just moving down the street, but where they're at, I mean, that's a central location, and people just are used to seeing it there. It's been there for at least 6 years now, and they actually from here. They used to be down in Cannon. Do you remember when they were down in Cannon?
No, ever since I've been there, they've always, ever since I've gone, they've always been in that spot. you know, what's right next to the creek with the patio and everything. That's the arcade. That's the only spot I've ever seen them at.
Yeah, they was. Even though they were down in Canada, they only had that one side where the creek was right behind them.
Hmm.
That was a weird place for them, too. But I remember going down there a couple times, and the way they had it set up, they had a room in the back, and that's where I used to get sit. Every time I went in there, they used to sit near the back. And I felt like I was sitting in some of the back room. So it was different.
Wait a second. Maybe I'm thinking of somewhere different then. I said, maybe I'm thinking, well, I'm pretty sure they've always been there.
Mm-hmm.
Did the interior look different, like, 20 years ago?
Yeah. It was a totally different place for me, because, I mean, I saw it. Actually, when I moved out of here the first time, there was a lot of transition. They were actually working on the spa building.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they were down on Cannon. Because they were...
Well, maybe it was on Cannon when I first went there then, because wasn't there, like, booths? They used to have booths and then a few tables.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
it was
right there where Karma, Good Karma is.
Yeah, yep. Okay, now I remember. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there was a feed store and everything. Yep, I remember now.
Oh, yeah, it was crazy. Bless you.
Yeah, because I remember having lunch there with two friends, and one was a guy and one was a girl, and I thought the guy liked me, but he'd been sending me mixed singles all day. So when we were sitting there at lunch... he sat next to me instead of next to her, and he kept sitting closer and closer to me, and I kept scooting. I was in the inside of the booth, so it got to the point where I couldn't move over any farther because I was up against the wall, and he just scooted a little closer to his leg was touching mine, and it's like, it's his deal, because he talked to her like the whole entire time we've been out walking around town, and he would just start doing the sidewalk glances at me. You know, and smiling, and it's like, you haven't said more than 10 words to me this whole entire time, and yet, I don't know what to do with you. Boys don't like me. I don't get this, so. Yeah, but he kind of cleared up my confusion later on that evening and the next day, and then from there on, it's history, but I just remember being there at lunch eating. I can't even tell you what I was eating until we had dessert, and he got dessert, and he forced me to share it with him. He's like, you're going to share this with me. It's like, I am? Yes, you are. Okay, whatever you say. Yeah. Every weird experience in the past 20 years that's happened to me has happened to me in Manitou, so that's why I always like going, because it's always something different.
That is true. There's some days I kind of like invent things to stay out, so I have to go home. Because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
No, I was going to sit there and go over the whole thing. For some reason, my freaking archangel has always been Michael. And it's been a combination of archangel. Let's see, we got Michael, Raphael. Today I was actually doing some research on Zachariel, which is another angel. And usually Archangel Michael and Zachariel have a tendency to work together, too. Let's see, I've actually marked this, too. Zachariel is the angel that his name means the righteousness of God. He's considered to be the archangel of mercy, deliverance, and actually it's been said that he's the one that actually stopped Abraham from sacrificing his son. Focuses on mercy and compassion, helps people to actually helps them to rise above a situation, to have more compassion and mercy in their hearts, so they can actually see people for who they are, because everybody has actions that they do that realistically doesn't really tell you who they are. And I know what people say, actions are stronger than words, but that's the ideal of actually being true to oneself and the ideal of actions too. And I was there going, yeah, it'd be great to do that kind of thing. And compassion also can help you find lost objects. It's the ideal connecting with one. Forgiveness for oneself and others. Healing. And they were starting to talk about the idea of working Archangel Michael, Raphael, and then Zachariel, because Zachariel has some great healing abilities. And what's so good about Michael is it's the idea of that visualization with the sword, where you can actually cut the cords, cut connections to situations and people. And then you have Raphael and Zachariel and the idea of coming through and helping you heal once you let go of those situations. And I guess it's the idea of motivation to keep moving forward. Because each time I've actually done readings for people and seen them with the, when I see cords, I see, it's depending on how bad they are. But I've actually seen people who actually have anchors in their back. And they're chained to the past. And that's how, that's a really strong connection. And a really strong one that needs to be cut. So it's the idea a little bit stronger measures to get rid of it, but it's sometimes you realize it's just your perception that makes it that way, and then you just cut it loose and everything changes. But if you look at the visual, it's showing that once you cut this loose, it also indicates the thing that's holding you back. And also the idea, if you want to change the parameters of what you've got planned, sometimes you got to consider the idea of what's still hanging on that could actually be manipulating the idea of how you feel like that plan should play itself out or how long it's going to take. Because, I mean, it's like we were talking about the idea. I was seeing this on the Law of Attraction. I thought it was very interesting, too, that, realistically, when it comes to the energy and the Law of Attraction, realistically, it doesn't take, like for a car or a house, people think there's different time frames on those things, when realistically, it's up to you. What is your resistance on those two situations? You think it's harder to manifest a house than a car? Then you're going to have that kind of time frame you're going to work with. But if you change your perception and tell yourself, I've been told that I'm unlimited, I can have that now, then you'll start seeing things change and things will start moving forward quicker for you. Or you'll, even the idea of changing your perception, how can you have those? How can you obtain those? Everybody keeps thinking you got to have a job. No. Realistically, you have to have the tool to buy those houses and to buy that car. Sometimes it's simply just changing your perception, because your perception, I guess, would be considered a tool as well, to obtain the other tools. What's the thing you really need the most is to have the faith within yourself, to actually realize, okay, yes, you need money, you need people to work with you, that kind of stuff, but you got to have the faith behind that to realize you can actually attract those things. So a lot of people don't. So they go, okay, how come I'm not getting anywhere in this situation? Because you're focusing too much on the situation. The visualization that you see is more likely you're seeing a mortgage broker sitting there looking at you going, no way. Or you need this or you need that. I've seen too many situations where people thought that too. And then they changed their perception. There was one lady, I remember this too, with her husband. They were buying a house. They went into the situation and she just kept getting this really strong feeling just to go do it. And then her husband got laid off from a job. Then he got another job, but some of those companies, we've been told they like to have a certain kind of record and a certain kind of way of looking at things, and you have to have your life in a certain way before they consider letting you have a house. Well, they sit there and change their perception and just started focusing on the outcome and wouldn't let themselves see anything else. And then I think it was kind of funny, too, because the mortgage company guy came, kind of mortgage broker, came to them and said, this is kind of weird because it even freaks me out, but you got approved for this house, and you can move anytime you want. They're not even asking for a down payment. And you won't have to pay anything until the first month. And they were just like, the woman, his wife was funny because she was like, yep, I know. And then her husband was kind of like baffled for a minute. But all of a sudden it kind of kicked in. He was good. I just thought, if you look for the stories, they're there. If you look for the examples, they're there. And I think that a lot of times when we find those examples, it's just to help us change our own perceptions, to obtain what we want to get. Because people say, I've heard that thing so many times of focusing on money. Money, too much of a focus on money can create a block from getting any more money. Ow. It is an owl thing. Have you had any kind of examples of your own something that stands out that kind of defied the idea of reality?
Oh.
We'll be right back after this is worth more sponsors. Why she thinks.
Well, I guess it would. Well, a lot of it would have to do when I decided that I was, you know, going to learn to ride a motorcycle and have a motorcycle. You know, I gave myself the time frame of by the time I was 35, I was gonna have my motorcycle license and I was gonna have a motorcycle, and I gave myself, it was like, it was about a 2-year period. I gave myself 2 years to accomplish that. And so, but I got the motorcycle within a month. I mean, I got the motorcycle license within a month. And then I got the motorcycle within a month after that. So I was like 2 years ahead of schedule. You know, and it happened all so fast, even though I really didn't think it could, because I had never done anything like this on my own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd never purchased a vehicle on my own. I'd never purchased, I mean, anything that required you having a title and your name on something, having my own insurance and just my name, I've never had that before. So it's like,
right.
It's like I didn't know where to start, but at the same time, I just did it. You know, it's like, I've got to do this. I've got to do this for myself. And I just felt that it was something I needed to do. And, you know, everybody around me was like, you're crazy, or that doesn't make sense, or why would you want to do that? You know, because I've always had this desire. I've always had this draw. I always felt it was, you know, a part of who I was, and I kept denying that, and it's like, I'm just, because it to me, it represented individuality, and it was, and the ability to be on my own, to be my own self, and I honestly, like I said, everything, I mean, I just on a whim, you know, asked, just filled out the pre-approval loan for my bank. Really didn't think I'd get it because, you know, I didn't make much in my job and I didn't have, I mean, I had a decent credit score, but I'd never filed a loan on my own, you know. And I got it, I mean, I did it late at night, you know, usually said, you know, allow up to a couple of days for a response or whatever. The banker called me the next morning and just asked me, do I have another source of income besides what I put down, because the rent that I put down was so high compared to what my income was. I'm like, oh, yeah, I do. And he says, what is it? And I told him, and he's like, oh, in that case, yeah, you're approved. You know, how much is the bike? It's like, well, I haven't found the bike yet. I just wanted to make sure that when I did, I had money available. And he's like, oh, yeah, whatever. Just let us know. Get the VIN number, and, you know, we can go from there. It's like, okay. And then that day, you know, I just was still kind of shocked, and the day after that I was looking and I kept coming back to this one motorcycle, and it's like, you know, I looked at a bunch of them, it's like I kept going back to this one. And so I called the guy who had it, you know, I emailed him first. I emailed him and I was like, hey, are you firm on this price? You know, because it's like, and he emailed me back, he goes, well, I could do such and such, which was way lower than I would assume based on what price he gave it. I'm like, okay, I'm assuming you still have it. He's like, yes, I do. I said, well, you know, I can't come until the weekend. And he's like, all right, we'll put it on a hold for you. And so he stamped it sold on the website, and I got there. And when, you know, so I said, well, and he's like, do you have financing? I'm like, yeah. He goes, with who? And I told him. He's like, okay. And he gave me the VIN number to give to my banker, and I don't know how it happened, but the two of them talked, and my banker called me back later that day, and he's like, oh, I talked to so-and-so about your bike, and we've got all the paperwork arranged. I faxed it to him, and he's faxed it back to me, so all you have to do when you get there is just you know, find you know, the couple pages he has and it's yours. It's like, well, gosh darn. All this time people have told me that it's so difficult to do all this stuff. And it's like, I have
mm-hmm.
barely had to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then I called insurance and I got a couple of quotes and I called this one guy, you know, left a message and he called back. He goes, you know, and I told him what I had and what I was looking at, and he asked me a couple of questions about it. He's like, oh, okay. He goes, well, I've run the numbers, and I actually represent two different companies, and I really recommend going with this one company, and based on what you have and your history and everything like that, he goes, I can even give you this discount and that discount, which will make it this and that, and it's like, okay, I can do that. So it's just, to me, it's like all these things, I wasn't sure that I should be doing what I was doing. Yeah, I couldn't argue with how the ease of everything was going, and I had my doubts of like, well, maybe this is too good to be true. It shouldn't, you know, nobody says
mm-hmm.
it's this easy, but it's like I felt that it was a path that I was supposed to take, and I just
mm-hmm.
kept walking down it, and things just kept falling into place, and, you know, within the week, you know, I've got I got there, he let me take the bike for a spin, and I come back, and it's like, where do I sign? And, you know, and we were done, and it's like, and I left with it, and it's like, wow, I even had the insurance, I mean, I hadn't even fully purchased a bike yet, and I already had insurance cards in my email for it.
Oh, wow.
So it was just like I just connected with the right people at the right time who knew how to handle things and walked
mm-hmm.
me through it and were nice and patient and, you know, just encouraging, and which was crazy because 99% of the other people I talked about were discouraging.
Right.
And it's like, how is it that, you know, people say, follow your bliss, do what you want, you know, achieve your dreams, you can do it. When you do that, then they're like, what are you doing? You're crazy. You can't do that. It's like, make up your mind, people. Either I can, you know,
mm-hmm.
follow my dreams and do this, or I can't. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, the sky's the limit, but yet I'm only allowed to fly so high. Please, be more clear
mm-hmm.
about this so I know better next time.
Yeah, we actually changed that, too. Sky's not the limit. The sky is a void of an illusion that you can actually still penetrate and keep going. So,
mm-hmm.
no, I understand that because I remember I think the one thing you were talking about, and the idea, even when you're going through it, you're amazed, and you're still waiting for the bottom to fall out. Because I mean, when I first got this, and my credit was, this is my thing, was the idea that my credit was terrible. And I was sitting there going, I want a real cell phone. And I saw this blue Razor, and I actually had started doing focus boards and stuff like that. And for some reason, on my focus board, I was actually prompted to get 3 pictures of this blue Razor flip phone. And I was like, this is what I want. And then I read a book by Doreen Virtue who said, be very detailed about what you want. And so I did. Because I started reading her books, how she would sit there and even down to, she wanted to get a condo, but she wrote down details, even down to the point where if you have a condo with a fireplace, you have to have a cat. And she detailed the cat and everything. And I was just like, it was amazing to hear her say that. So I went down and did the same thing. So I went on the internet. I found this place to get cell phones. So I said, I'm going to get this cell phone, but I'm going to be very detailed about it. I don't want to pay no money. I don't want to pay no initiation fee or activation fee or anything. I don't want to pay nothing until I get the first bill. So I was almost, I always tell people certain things, that there could be certain things that happen that discourage you. It's people trying to be too worldly is what I call it. Because I remember I applied for it, gave them my credit card, and then they came back and I said I was declined. I'm going, okay, this is not working like I thought it was supposed to. But I did everything in detail, and then 2 hours later I got an email out of the blue, and I said, okay, they're probably just going to tell me and reinforce why I didn't get it. So I didn't really, at first I really didn't want to even look at the email. And then I said, okay, why not? Something kind of prompted me. He said, just check the email. So I checked the email. I said, oh, thank you for applying for this phone, and you get your phone in 2 days. And so I started thinking about, what did I do exactly where I could get it in 2 days? And I started thinking about, well, I remember I went back in and looked at my focus board and said, you know something? I got declined, but that's the phone I want, and I want that phone. If I'm supposed to have this phone, I'll have it before the end of the week. And it was another thing, too, I tell people. I didn't get the phone by the end of the week, but it was there waiting for me because I had to go take a trip, go somewhere else for business, and then I had it sent to my mom's. But as I was walking in the house, in my mom's house, to get that phone, I was still thinking, I'm going to walk in there and be disappointed, and it's not going to be there, or she's going to sit there and say, hey, the phone didn't come or nothing like that. And as I walked in there, and as I'm going through these things, what I was doing, I was shaking it off. No, no, no. No, that's not, I'm not going to let that thought come in my mind. So I would shake it off and shake it off, and finally I got in there, and there's my phone. And I'm, even as I'm opening the box of the phone, I'm thinking it's going to be a toy phone or something. But it was a real phone. You know, the one thing I was there talking about that really empowered me to think about what I could do and what I could accomplish was the time I got my driver's license. I had to get my license renewed, and I walked into, I was in Florida, and I just walked into the motor vehicles, and I said to myself, I said, I'm going to walk in here. I want no trouble. I want no freaking infractions of any kind. I want my, all I want to do is get my phone. I mean, get my phone. Still stuck on the phone thing. I said, I want to get my license and walk out. And I walked in there, told the lady I hadn't renewed my license in 3 years. And she goes, okay, do you have any, you know, like any, is your license revoked? I said, no. And as far as I knew, it wasn't. And I just said, no, it's not. She said, okay, stand in front of the screen. I said, why? I was kind of still in defense mode. Why do you want me to stand in front of the blue screen? And she was like, so we can take your picture for your license? I was like, oh, okay, no problem. I can do that. So I walked in. But it was like you were talking about people. I came out there, I got my license, and every time I would run into my friends, they're going, but how'd you do that? And I mean, well, how'd I do that? And why are you guys so fixated on how I did it? And the point is, I got my driver's license in my pocket, and I'm good. I don't really care how it happened. But see, the moral of this story is I got back to Ohio and found that my license had been revoked for 6 years. So I was thinking, can we actually rise above everything? As long as we can keep our minds and our perceptions positive on the outcome, just like that, because that one made me think, you know, where you could actually get too big-headed and going, man, that's something I can't do. I need to get that back. Anyway, but it was like, it's one of those things. I'm really focused this week. I've been doing a lot of meditation, and actually the last 2 days has been nothing but focusing on a lot of things, and I'm seeing a lot of differences, but it's like telling people flat out, it doesn't matter how far you get up on the level of spirituality, there's always going to be periods of time that we're going to lose our perception. And I think those are learning lessons for us, not to sit there and get back where we were, but the idea of helping us exceed that limitation of what's causing that. Because I've seen this before in a lot of people, and when you're in the spiritual lifestyle, there's always people around you that are so headstrong, and I don't know if they're actually there to knock you down or whatever, but they seem to really determine to knock you back down to their level. And I think sometimes, like we had here, I think the biggest problem for me realistically was when we had the flooding, and we've had so many infractions that there's been so many people walking in the streets going, talking about the floods, and talking about this spring coming up, and just all this stuff. I'm going, you guys need to freaking tone it down a little bit. But my guides and angels keep saying, no, it's just one of those things of learning, just learning to keep your mind. Those people are actually motivation to keep your mind positive and keep exceeding even further, because the more you keep really focusing, learning, and growing, you're gonna benefit those people sometime, somewhere. Maybe not today, but it's going to definitely change the effect. And it's one of those things that took me back to memory, too. That when I lived here before, we had the other shop, and I was just so fixated on no 5-year plan of becoming, you know, making a profit and making money working in the shop. I had my mind in saying, no, as soon as we walk in that place, we're going to start do, and we're going to exceed all these things. And every time someone would even say something to me, it would just prompt me to keep going forward. I don't know what happened this last time, but this flooding thing, I think it's something I've never been a part of. I mean, flooding for me like we had here and the disaster and that kind of stuff is something I would read in the paper, but I've never actually experienced something like that. So I think it was one of those things you learn. You also acquire tools so that this next spring coming up, I think we can actually avoid all this, because if people are using the statistics, it says when you have fires, you're going to have 10 years of this. But see, those are statistics based on another place. This is totally different. I think we can actually change it around this year. I'm focusing anyway. My vision is no matter what happens, if we do have some great water flooding, I'll be sitting on a freaking raft doing readings for people. So my vision, I'm trying to focus, you know. We got some callers in the queue, so let's go talk to some people. How do you say?
All right, go for it.
Okay. Let's see. We got area code 252. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name, and where are you from? And we got silence. Hello?
Hello?
252. Yes, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name? Say hello to Christina, and we're all here hanging out.
Hey, y'all. My name is Kima, and I'm calling from North Carolina.
Hey.
Hey.
It's okay. So how can we help you today, tonight?
Oh, I was just trying to get some insight on my love situation, I guess. Because you guys
okay.
are giving insight into relationships or whatever. So I was just wondering what was your insight or whatever. Whatever you
mm-hmm.
pick up on my on me about that. Or if you feel like I have learned all my lessons, or do you think it's some more lessons coming towards me involved in relationships?
Lessons concerning relationships? I get
mm-hmm.
a base of, kind of get a base of things that you've gone through and some kind of way of thinking you've been punished.
Let me see. Not being true to myself, I guess, and just not fighting for what I believe belonged to me, and
mm-hmm.
not getting rid of things that did not belong to me, and at the appropriate time, you know, when that decision needed to be made. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that I have learned that relationship lesson, so I can move on with my life and get a better relationship.
So you're not in a relationship?
No, not right now.
Okay, so therefore, how's the relationship with yourself, you think? Is it really good?
I think it's fairly, I think it's fine. I think
mm-hmm.
I'm fine, but sometimes I do feel if things are not, well, I have heard that if things are not fine on the outside, then there's something on the inside that's messed up. But usually I'm okay, but there's a lot of stuff on the outside externally. So do you believe that, you know, if stuff on the outside is all messed up, that means there's something messed up within you?
Well, I believe that we create our world.
Yeah.
We create
right.
a reality
so,
we feel about within ourselves. So, yeah, definitely. But see, the thing
yeah.
is, I get the impression you're still being hard on yourself, and the idea you think you haven't learned anything, or you haven't learned everything. And, I, you know, the thing is the idea of looking at life, okay? Relationships are about learning about each other and one another.
Right.
And the idea of getting to know another person, you get to know more about yourself and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of
mm-hmm.
people are missing out on a lot of things. They just need to put down that resistance to realize it's just a learning experience, but the learning experiences happen a whole lot more spontaneous and a whole lot more smoother if you just learn
mm-hmm.
to live. And that's what I'm saying. You're sitting there focusing on things that you think that you might not have learned, and you're looking for, it's almost like you're a person that's driving down the road and say, there should be potholes here, you know, because I need to learn how to miss them, not realizing that if you don't have any potholes, then, you know, leave well enough alone and just keep going forward. Because I feel like you're basing on past experiences. Because the very first thing I picked up on that my guys were sitting there talking about, Mays was sitting there going, she needs to let go of the past and forget everything and just see yourself
right.
where you are right at this moment. That actually
right.
you're in a good, you are a great person. You know, you're
mm-hmm.
thinking in the past you've done some things that you wasn't
mm-hmm.
too proud of. See, that's the past. You've done those things. So you moved on and you realize, hey, that wasn't good. And maybe that's
yeah.
all you needed to know. But I think when people realistically do those kind of things, well, they do mean things to people.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of the lack of faith they have in themselves, and they feel like that's what they got to do.
Right.
When you sit there and look at the situation and look in the mirror and go, hey, that's who I am right there. So, but yeah, this is one thing too. I think a lot of us, I think even me, have to learn that when people like us, we're likable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's the compliments mm-hmm. that people give you because they see it. Because I've had a couple of times when people call on the show and they say, hey, you're a fantastic, awesome person. I'm going, okay, whatever. Sure I am. And, you know, it's one of those things like, but someone sees something and it helps you just to be able to embrace yourself even more to realize, okay, because once you start realizing that people do like you and that you are worth, you have a lot of worth, you are an awesome person, then you start attracting more people in your life too that also reflect that. And then next thing you know, you don't have people in your life going, you can't do that. I love it when people sit and tell me I can't do something I just did. Oh, you need to go.
Yeah.
I need to get rid of you, dude.
Exactly. No, I know. Okay.
Wait.
Well, I just was like kind of, I guess
right,
I've been
I
in an introspective
mm-hmm.
yeah, mood for the first part of the year. So I guess I'm kind of going through everything for the last 30-something years, what I have done, and taking names and getting rid of situations and people and trying to start mm-hmm. all over again.
I just wanted to see what Christina had to say, what she sees in this situation. What maybe she's picking something up too. Christina?
Well, I just hear that she's still blaming herself for things. I mean, you're like, you know, have I learned my lesson? You know, I mean, people who have to learn their lessons feel like they've done something wrong or they've done something bad.
Right.
And it's like there are the obvious things we do that's wrong and bad. We say things to people that we know is hurtful, you know, but, or in the heat of the moment, we do something that we regret later. But there's been situations where you didn't, they're not your fault, you know. It's, you can't control what other people do and what other people say. You know, you can't control their reactions to things. You said, well, I could have done it differently or I could have said something differently. It's like, that's no way to live, or you're always going to be second-guessing everything you do.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, if whatever your first initial gut reaction is, you know, people say, you know, go with your gut, you know, it's, when you do that, it may not always make sense, and it may not always seem like the right thing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, how many times have we said, you know, denied that about ourselves and second-guessed and did something different, and you turn around and bit you in the ass.
Right.
But if you had just gone with your gut, if you had just gone with that initial instinct,
mm-hmm.
it would have been a totally different result. And I just think I just hear in your voice that you still haven't quite forgiven yourself for some things. You know, you still think you could have changed something or you could have done more for somebody. And you can't. And honestly, you will never be enough for anybody, because people who expect you to do everything for them and to be everything for them
mm-hmm.
are, in some ways, they're vampires. I mean, they're emotional and vampires. And they're forever hungry. They're never going to get enough because they don't feel enough for themselves. So you cannot fill them. So, you know, and like you say, I'm sure you've let a few people go and stuff. And
yeah.
I talked to Donnie about this. He talks about going and seeing family and stuff, and then he tells me these stories of when he goes and stuff, and I keep saying, stay away from Ohio. Whenever you go to Ohio, you come back, and it takes you forever. And actually, in some ways, he still hasn't gotten over it. But it's like, I don't care that they're family, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Their family is an excuse,
mm-hmm.
you know, and even if they're, you know, a cousin of a cousin or whatever, it's just,
Yeah, I know. I understand that.
Yeah, stop using family as an excuse for other people's bad behavior and accepting their bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
We as parents don't allow our children to continue behaving badly because they're family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, you expect them to straighten up, fly right, and do what they're supposed to do and do the right thing, and, you know, they get punishment stuff. Well, how is, you know, your brother, your sister, your cousin, your niece, your nephew, your aunt, your uncle any different? You know, you teach people how to treat you. And if you don't treat mm-hmm. yourself well and you don't allow yourself, you know,
mm-hmm.
the freedom to be who you are as an excuse because, you know, everybody else needs you or wants you or thinks you've done something wrong, then it's always forever going to be a mess.
Yeah, that is true. Very much true.
And if you're forever being the one who's enabling people in the family, if you're forever the one who's,
uh-huh.
you know, fixing everything for everybody, you're mm-hmm. not going to be the person you need to be for yourself and therefore for anybody that you want to bring into your love life.
Because
you will be tapped out of love.
No, you're right. You're definitely right. I know exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, nobody wants to be involved with somebody who's always on the phone or always over at somebody's house, you know,
mm-hmm.
helping with the drama, you know. And it's drama that no matter what you say or what you do, it's not going to go away because other people are causing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just basically, you know, tell some of those people, it's like, hey, you're behaving very badly and it's
mm-hmm.
unacceptable. It's affecting me, which in a sense is affecting other people I care about,
mm-hmm.
and it's keeping me from what my purpose is. So until, you know, you can behave better, I'm putting you in a timeout.
Right. No. Permanent timeout.
Exactly. It's like, mm-hmm. don't contact me, don't come back until
you learn how to act. That's right.
Exactly.
Amen, sister. That's what I told somebody. I stay here. You stay right over there where you live at. Don't even come over here. You know how to bring some positivity every time coming up. Well, anyway, blah, 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 blah. But I know exactly what you're saying. I had to deal with something like that the other day here. No, I know exactly what you're saying. So it's all about boundaries at the end,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, no, I know what you're saying. I know.
And don't feel bad about it. I have a feeling that you like feel bad about telling people no when they need you or they say they need you. You know, they don't need you. I'm sorry.
No, I know they don't.
They need a therapist or they need a pastor.
Okay. And neither one of them ain't going to be able to do nothing if they themselves don't want to change. So.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. You keep doing the same things over and over again, and hopefully, you know, you thought that they were intelligent to know the difference, but obviously they're not, and don't let them drag you into it, because
mm-hmm.
all it does is distract you from your growth.
What I need to do, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
And the people who are there for you, you know, just make sure that you tell them that you appreciate them.
Okay.
You know, because you see how a drain it is on people who say they need you and you do things for them and then they don't say anything to you and you know how you feel about that. Just make sure that you take the time that when somebody does something for you or is there for you, just listening to you on the phone for something or, you know, stop to say, how are you really? And they allow you to say more than four sentences.
Yeah.
It's like, give them a hug or say, you know what, thank you so much for taking the time because so many few people do.
Right. This is true. No, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to have to stop feeling guilty about past actions and learn how to
mm-hmm.
live for the future.
Exactly. Yes,
you might want to do one thing too. You might want to connect the two angels, two archangels that popped out for me was Archangel Jophiel and Archangel Michael. Archangel Jophiel is actually the angel who actually helps us see the beauty within ourselves, so that beauty can also reflect in the outer world too as well. And then Archangel Michael is to help us to continue to let go and cut things out of our lives, and to have the strength to do so. Because he's just not the ideal cutting cords. He's also the ideal. He enables us to tap into our own strengths.
Right. Okay. No, I usually work with Archangel Michael. And Jophiel, usually he comes up every so often, but I think he's one of my regulars too. So, all right. I learned. I have to do meditation on him too.
I'm sorry.
I said I had to do more meditation around those two.
Just relax. I'm just saying Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael usually come up together on a lot of people because they usually work together.
Okay.
And so therefore it makes perfect sense. There's a book out there called Healing with the Angels by Dorian Virtue, and it actually has a section in there to reduce and eliminate toxins out of your body and out of your life because of what people have brought into it. Because sometimes we get rid of the people, but we still have that toxic
residue behind. Yes. I bought this CD called for quantum clearing, and I ain't got it yet, but I'm hoping that that'll be able to kind of clear up a lot of mess around me too, kind of help me also clearing the cords. Hopefully that'll work.
I'm just saying that book has a meditation in there that actually incorporates Raphael and Michael together to cut the cords, to reduce the stress, and get rid of the toxicity.
I'll look out for that book. Yeah, I had her card deck once or twice, so I'll look out for that book. All right. Well, thank you so much. You guys have a blessed night.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Oh, shoot. Holy cow.
What?
I'm trying to figure if I lost one or if I actually clicked on one or two. Because there it is, 985. I was going to go to 985. I'm just like, it's amazing how you have a lot of people come in here into the situation and come on the show, and you can really identify a lot of things they're going through by past experiences you've had yourself. So that was kind of an interesting thing about that book just came in my head. It just gave me like a freaking ton of bricks. And go, that would be great because it's a combination. It's something she's focusing on. And Raphael was one of the things. But I was over here looking at my cards, and I came to Jophiel came out. And it's almost like a lot of people need to see that beauty within themselves.
And then
they do that. Yeah. So it was kind of crazy. It's like things, like everything around me jumps out at certain times going, you need to pass it on. And it's like, that was one of the things that it was hardest to really, most people look for signs for themselves, but you know, when you start looking for signs that really detailed other people, it always has a tendency to resonate on a lot of levels. So it's kind of crazy. But I just happened to have this Jophiel card just sitting there, and I was kind of looking at the idea of the situation, because it's a really pretty card, because like I was saying with these cards, I was noticing that, and this one too, it's got this lady, and it's like they point out things in the card. And the card itself is purple, which is spiritual, and the idea of listening to connections. But the one thing about this card, Jophiel, is also the ideal, the best way to believe in yourself is to see the beauty within yourself. And
it's just one thing society doesn't let us do that.
I know.
Like we were talking earlier, you know, we have a hard time accepting compliments because, you know, we've been trained, society and, you know, people around us, we're not allowed to, you know, say, why, thank you, I know, you know, I'm beautiful or I'm nice or something like that, because we're not, you know, we're supposed to, other people can tell us these things, but we can't tell ourselves those things, or acknowledge mm-hmm. that we believe those things about ourselves, because then we're being told we're being vain or we're being conceited or arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So it's confusing. It's like, okay, that's why so many people find it necessary to always, you know, I need a man, you know, I need a boyfriend, I need a girlfriend, or I need tons of friends because, you know, my friends will tell me that I'm pretty and funny and smart. You know, my girlfriend, my boyfriend will love me and tell me that I'm beautiful and I'm amazing and all these things, because I'm not allowed to tell myself those things, because I'm not allowed to believe those things, because if I do, then, you know, then I'm, you know, for lack of a better way, I'm a bitch, I'm a diva, you know, I think I'm better than everybody else. So,
yeah.
You know, so it is a really hard thing to accept, you know, accept the beauty of yourself. It's like, well, if I accept that, then I can't tell anybody.
Yeah, no, like, no, I have
to pretend and go around like I don't know that. So
No, I had a lady do that one time. She complimented me on sales, an amazing, awesome person. I said, okay, thank you. I am. And she's like, well, that's egotistic. I'm like, no, I was just agreeing with you. And now you're sitting there saying I'm egotistic. So are you lying to me? And she's like, no. I said, then why can't I agree with you? And she just kind of looked at me, you know, sometimes it's amazing when people get quiet going, okay. Well, go back to the point where you made the compliment in the first place. What was you thinking? You know, what was you feeling at that time? And I think that's a person who has a tough time taking compliments too, and they think they always got to compliment everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to compliment everybody else.
The acceptable response is, oh, really? I don't know. You know, that's so nice of mm-hmm. you. Thank you. You're such a sweet person, because then you're supposed to turn around and compliment them back.
Mm-hmm.
That is the proper response. You know,
no.
Or it's like, no, I'm not, you know, I just don't know what to do, so then they can give you the advice, and they can do this, because what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to turn around and make it about them,
mm-hmm.
and when you don't turn around and make it about them, then you're viewed in a negative light.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this catch-22 that, you know, we've put ourselves in, you know, over time because of this need for validation from everybody we come across.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we don't value ourselves.
Yeah, and boy, if we do value ourselves, I guess it's those people who don't value themselves have a tendency to point it out to us.
Exactly. And that's where you get the term haters be hating.
Yeah. No, I was thinking about today. Okay, we had a person in town today. It was a preacher. Well, I don't know if he was a preacher or not, but the one thing I noticed about the whole thing was kind of interesting was he needed to come in. He was down right below, we had that little park right there, up from my shop, and they got those concrete benches there, and he was standing up on the bench talking to people, and it was one of those things where I said, you know, dude, I'm sick of hearing about the same thing every freaking time, and I was almost like tempted to walk down there and tell the guy, I said, if you really want people to listen to you, and you want them to really take you seriously, then why don't you bring yourself down to their level and take yourself off this bench and sit down and talk to the people. It's amazing that Christians are always, and I hate to say that, but I'll sit here and say it this way. The Christians that have crossed my path always seem to do one thing. They notice the worst about you.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to see. When they don't realize, to me personally, I think it's like, do you really see me for who I am? Because I don't see that. And when I see people and I see them, all I can think about is all the positive things about them. You know, this person does have a compassionate, caring side. But for some, they look at me and go, don't you ever wish you were blessed? I'm going, okay, that's an assumption, because you don't know me. Obviously, you're not psychic either, because you would have realized that I think blessings happen every freaking day on many levels. You know, even the idea of thinking and saying, okay, I'm wrong. A lot of people have a hard time with that one, too. But it was kind of funny with a Christian. You know, they're always focusing. The one thing that drives me crazy is the idea of focusing on every freaking bad thing, the human beings, this, this, and this, and this. And then the one thing I noticed in the Bible that I like to point out is to start looking for the positive things in there. First and foremost, if you look at Jesus, when he used to preach, he never stood on anything. He was always on the same level as the people. So he was always portraying to the people and saying, hey, you know something? You're like me. You are me. And it actually says in the Bible, too. He says, you guys are gods. He also considered himself on the same level as God, and he also wanted us to do the same. Now, where are these Christians coming from with what they're saying? I don't know. I think it's coming from they're thinking that they're not worthy in the process of helping other people. They think they're going to get to that point of being worthy and not realizing. Because in the Bible, it says the very first thing in the Bible, it says the idea of the most important, because I was sitting talking to a friend of mine, and I saw this preacher down there talking about the Ten Commandments. And I said, well, what was the greatest commandment? Well, he then goes back and talks about the Ten Commandments and how we need to honor them. I said, I understand that, but what is the greatest commandment? Because it also says that in the Bible, too, which is very important. And that's what I was trying to get to the guy. I said, don't you understand how important it is for the greatest commandment? He goes, you know, they kind of get quiet. They kind of look at you. Some people might actually know what's going on, but what the greatest commandment was is to love your neighbors as you love yourself. But if you look at the situation, Jesus said it in that way, love your neighbor as you love yourself, because Jesus already loved himself. So what he's trying to get us to do is to love ourselves, so therefore it's unconditionally easy for us to love another. But it's the greatest commandment. And if you listen and love yourself unconditionally, you will never break the Ten Commandments, because you have a strong sense of love and respect for yourself that you always give it to another. That's why it's so important. People, you know, we've heard out there before where people think we're being self-centered. But actually it's one of the ways of correcting a lot of things that are in the world right now, is to have that kind of love for oneself. So therefore, basically, it's always, always reminds me of that shampoo commercial. You know, when you love it, when you love yourself unconditionally, you love it, you know, unconditionally love another, and so on and so on and so on. You just keep, you set up a chain reaction that when people see that kind of love within yourself, they want to do it too, and it creates a very strong connection to other people to do the same. And that's why it's so important to love oneself. And I was just like, sometimes I want to avoid Christians. I hate to say that, but it's like I'm in a really good place in my life, and it's like they have this hammer, and they want to knock the freaking nails down my freaking ladder, you know, knock me down. And I'm just like, and I think that's one thing I always tell people, too, never put yourself on a freaking pedestal. If you don't put yourself on a pedestal, people can't knock you down.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a great relationship and romance and all this kind of stuff, no one can be on a pedestal, because realistically you're reflecting each other and you're creating something very special because you're both special. Simple as that. If anybody has any disagreements, I will argue with that.
Like, careful.
So, let's go take some calls. It, for some reason, when we started doing that last bit, I mean, the freaking queue just filled up, going, okay. Let's go with it. Let's go to area code 985. Area code as the freaking circle. Okay, 985, welcome to the show. You're on the air. How are you? Welcome.
Oh, I'm fine. I was enjoying the conversation there. It is so true. You really need to love yourself in a really good way. It's so hard to be who you are without all of that. I mean, it's genuine, you know what I mean? How can you be genuine if you don't have the right emotions or the right situation for yourself? You can't be genuine. Jesus was genuine. Jesus was a real, I don't know, he was cool, Jesus. He's so misunderstood today.
Mm-hmm.
He was a nice guy. I think about a lot of what he said, you know. He did say one thing. He says, you could do things better than me. And what he meant is that if you raise your higher consciousness, if you're aware of your consciousness, right, and you know what that means, and you operate from that consciousness, that is what he meant. You can do things greater than me. So you got to work with your consciousness, your higher consciousness.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's what I was actually focusing on. That when I was talking, it's like your abilities. Like everybody has psychic abilities and have healing and psychic and that kind of stuff. But it's the idea coming from a strong sense of spiritual consciousness. So what's your name?
My name is Risha, R-A-S-H-A, Risha.
Risha?
Yeah.
We'll say hello to Christina, too. How can we help you tonight?
Huh?
I said hi to Christina, and then how can we help you tonight?
Oh, hi, Christina. I'm sorry. I apologize for not reading it. I've been listening to her. She's cool. Yeah. I mean... I don't know what you could do. How about an angel reading? I love the angels. I talk to the angels all the time. They're cool. I love the angels.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you had a pick of archangels, who would be your favorite?
It's Michael. Michael is the one who needs strength. He gives you strength when you need it. He protects you, too. I love him. Michael. And you know who my other favorite angel is? My other favorite angel is Raphael. And I don't know why, but he is. He just is. I love Angel Raphael.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, if you sit there and do some experimenting with yourself, and the ideal of it's a energy transfer where you focus on bringing energy from the ground up to the tip of your head and down to your hands. If your hands get really warm, that means you have great you have great abilities. And that's
My hands get very, very warm. And,
well, work with the Raphael on how to use your abilities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I should have been a real healer, you know, like, I don't know. But, you know, you can heal in so many ways, not just with your hands.
Yeah,
and
for the words
you can heal with your actions. You can heal with your words. You can heal with your thoughts.
Yes.
It's not just a physical, you know, you don't have to go to medical school. don't be performing any surgeries unless you have a medical degree. But you can definitely, you know, heal people with, you know, just listening or just talking.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's what I was saying. Archangel Raphael also works with people who are real healers to actually perfect and be more productive and also be able to attract people that you can actually help. That's why Raphael's with you. Let's see. I'm going to pull three cards for you. Actually, the cards actually focus more
on
the
idea. What
a
beautiful program tonight. What a beautiful thing the both of you have been saying. Really beautiful. Nice resonations. Really, really, I mean, I like it. I'm enjoying this. It's one of the best shows on Blog Talk this week. I'm enjoying this. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate
that.
You guys are really up there spiritually. You're advanced, very advanced spiritually.
Yeah, Christine, it's our chance to say thank you.
Yes, thank you. And it's appreciating, and it's healing me. Your words heal me. Because after this week, I needed that healing. And I'm not kidding. Seriously, after this week, after feeling very, you know, on the outside and the sidelines of a lot of things, it's nice to know that, you know, I am being heard. So, it's very important to hear those things. Everybody should have those kind of words told to them all the time.
Yeah, all the cards.
I think the spiritual life can be a very lonely life, too, at times.
Exactly.
Because you're not, I mean, it's just, I know, it can be very lonely. I mean, you can spend a lot of time just gathering up your own, what's in your own heart, what's in your own soul. And not everybody understands what way you're at. And so you're alone.
Mm-hmm.
You find yourself alone. And then I think about spiritual people who choose to spend their time alone. And they learn so much from that aloneness. But I don't mean loneliness. I mean aloneness. They're two different things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, aloneness is a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it allows you to go into those depths of yourself. It's, you know, if you have a lot of noise around you, you can't. So you need not to have noise. Sometimes you just need to, you know, we're talking, I guess you guys are talking about toxic situations. And that alone time is really the best time to alleviate a lot of toxic noise. And humans, most humans have it. And if you could heal them all from all their toxic noise, it would be so much better. You know, I had a discussion today with someone about fear. And I think the basic premise for most people, the basic premise is fear.
Mm-hmm.
People will say, no, I'm not fearful. Well, and it's easy to walk away from fear. No, no.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it were.
Oh, yeah.
But fear is the basic problem in the world today. I mean, look at the world today.
Mm-hmm.
But if we think positive about the world, and we have things to tell the world and say to the world, and even if we think good things about the world, because it is a beautiful place. You know, I look at the earth as a separate entity. It's a spiritual entity. The whole cosmos is a spiritual entity. It's a whole spiritual mechanism. And we're part of that spiritual mechanism. It's a beautiful machine. It's just so wonderful. And it gives us so much. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. And the angels are all part of that energy. They're all part of that beautiful energy that we are. So I love it. I think it's beautiful, that whole vision of what the cosmos is. And even if there are several of them, more power to spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. So, you know, so look at your cards. Your cards
okay,
are the idea of funny. Focusing on your strength, Archangel Ariel, and then the ideal focusing on another strength card, which is called the Emperor, but it's Archangel Uriel. Focusing on both these angels also focuses on the ideal of how healing, I keep saying how healing water is for you, being near water and that kind of stuff. It's a healing effect for you.
Yes. Yes.
And the idea of healing, too. It shows that healing also brings about balance, which also it shows here with these three cards showing increase in prosperity in your life and the idea of being able to attract the things you really want, need, and desire. I also see a lot more money coming in your life in the next, they say, real. I keep saying 4 months. And the Emperor card actually emphasizes because when I sit here and say money's coming in your life, more money's coming to you, and it keeps basically emphasizing in the next 4 months. So it's not going to be something that's going to happen 4 months from now. It's the idea that you're going to see increases.
Hmm.
These are like little bits of, they're like signs to keep you motivated, keep going forward.
That's beautiful. That's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What a beautiful reading. Thank you so much. And it's true about the water. I love being around the water. I just love being around the water. I love open skies and the water. Isn't that something? I just love it, you know. So maybe it's just a memory of past, you know, the memory of past, living it, that past life, you know, the water and the sky. It's just what a beautiful connection. But I love Mother Earth. She's beautiful. She's a beautiful spiritual being. She really is. Look what she does for us every day. She loves us so much. Mother Earth, I love her.
That is true.
She's you know what? She's an angel.
Mm-hmm.
The Earth is an angel, just as the sun is an angel. These are all angels. These are all beautiful spiritual beings supporting our life. Doing the things that they do every day. Water is an angel. Air is an angel. It's all beautiful. It's all beautiful.
I would say anything that ministers to your soul.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that heals and ministers and teaches you and helps you evolve, that's what we should be striving for. That's what we should be focusing on.
Exactly. And we're all light.
Mm-hmm.
You're light, I'm light. Everybody is light. Everybody is light. Everybody is a manifestation of light. Everybody is translating light in its own way. And that's the beauty of spirituality, is that we're light. We're light. And if we all are. We're all light. And we're wonderful, and we're wonderful creations of a translation of that light. We are translations of it. Everything we see is a translation of light. And light is knowledge. Everything we see is knowledge. You heard about the seven stages in the Veda, in the Big Veda, right? In the Rig Veda, ancient Sanskrit writing. Well, there were seven rishis, and there are seven rays of light. They existed here on Earth. They were seven seers, sages, who translated the messages in the light. And the messages in the light, I mean, that's what we are.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly translating the knowledge in the light.
No, it's actually one of the...
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. No, I was going to say, there's a book I've been reading by Elizabeth Clare Prophet, and she talks about the seven rays.
Yeah.
It's a thick book. I was just thinking, okay, I've heard this. Just didn't.
It's ancient knowledge. Ancient, very ancient knowledge. Yeah.
And she even talks about reincarnation as the missing link in Christianity.
Yeah.
Certain things we're missing out on the idea. It's kind of crazy in itself. Well, we're going to be moving on to some other callers. Great having you on the show.
Thank you so much for the wonderful reading. And thank
you
so much for being on the radio tonight. It was beautiful. Very beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're
wonderful people.
Thank
have
you.
A great night.
Thank you.
Good
night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. I guess if people ask me why I like doing this show, I guess that's one of those reasons why.
Mhm. Well, I also want to say, we say everything's light, everybody is light, and it's like, you know, everybody's different and everybody's light is different, and there's a reason. I mean, what happens when you shine light through a prism?
Yeah, exactly.
See all the colors that light is made out of, you know, and there's seven different colors. I mean, it's like, it's there. I mean, if people want to say, you know, science is, you know, science proves that there's more than what we see. Yet it's hard to explain why there's more than what we see. So.
Yeah, they were also talking about the idea that we've evolved. Like I saw this article, they were talking about a lot of people, when you listen to people, how they looked at the Mediterranean back around, I can't remember how far back, but it's from the Egypt, and they're observing the Mediterranean, and they're actually describing all these purple colors. Now, every time I've seen the Mediterranean, I don't see a lot of purples. I see a lot of blues and that kind of stuff. And they were sitting there talking about how we've actually evolved, where our eyes are actually seeing more of the spectrum than they ever has. And it's like, how much more can we actually evolve, and how much more can we pick up? Because it does exist, and it's kind of amazing. Every year there's always something else coming up out that we didn't. People looked at as myth, and then it becomes something where someone finds a way to actually bring it to the light. I actually saw this one guy. He kind of interpreted it differently than I would have, but he said he found a sensor within the brain that when you tap into the sensor, like a button, you can push it, you can see spirits and ghosts and angels and stuff. But what he looks at it is pushing a button and picking up illusions. And I'm like, why would you think by pushing a certain sensor in the brain itself, which is connected to the human body, that we would see something that's not there? That didn't even make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, my interpretation is he's found something within a mechanical, I don't know if you want to call it mechanical, but he's found a way to actually tap into seeing in something that can actually allow us to see things we couldn't see before that are actually there. I'm trying to explain that to myself, going, okay. So he's actually telling us we're seeing things that don't exist.
Keep working on it. Maybe the next caller will clear it up for you.
Oh, thanks. Just ponder on that one for a moment. Let's see. There's some people in the queue that don't have a little question mark next time. I'm just going to figure if they actually want to come on or not. So I guess we'll find out. Erica 973, welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name? And where are you from?
Hi, my name is Jackie. How are you, Journeyman? How are you?
Yeah, say hello to Christina.
Hi, Christina.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Listening to the show, just like what the last caller said, sometimes you do need to be alone. Yeah. But while you're in your aloneness, you do tend to see more because of the, I guess, the, less distraction and noise.
Mm-hmm.
And it really allows you to go deep within for real. Do you understand everything? Absolutely not. We have more questions than answers, but you see more. That makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
But what I'm finding is that I tend to see other people, like things that are affecting other people,
mm-hmm.
quicker than I would see things that would affect me. If that makes
okay.
sense.
Okay.
No,
can you repeat
yeah,
that? I didn't understand that.
It's like I could see things in my children that they can't see. I guess most parents probably, you know, can see that. But
mm-hmm.
Also with other adults, like I could solve someone else's problem quicker than I could solve my own.
Oh, well, yeah.
Like zero in on what the problem is, whereas
mm-hmm.
when it's myself is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost
well,
like
yeah,
the idea you see people.
I say, it is easier as an outsider because we don't have, we can see their problem and help them with a solution easy because we don't have all that those other distracting thoughts and stuff that they have, you know, all those other concerns that they're thinking about that clouds their judgment, you know, or emotions or feelings about the people involved. You know, whereas you're not personally or emotionally attached to the people in the situation, so yeah, you can see the problem clearer. Whereas with your own problems, you know that you know those annoying things called emotions get in the way of, you know, the sensible thing to do or the right thing to do. Because we're worried about what other people will think. We're worried about hurting certain people's feelings, you know, or it's going to hurt us because, you know, we don't want to, you know, be the bad guy. So, and sometimes we're not really being the bad guy. We're just being, you know, the problem solver, and not every solution to a problem is going to be easy or nice.
Mhm. Yeah, that's true.
Well,
yeah.
Problem-solving role sometimes it drains. I know it definitely drains my energy. I'm like I'm tired of solving people's problems. I would love to be able to solve my own at this point. It may sound selfish,
are they asking you to solve their problems, or are they telling you to solve their problems, or
well,
are
I think sometimes
volunteering?
Still, I think sometimes it falls on me by default, just for the basic of being, whether it's the mom, the sibling, you know, the spouse. You know, I think I'm at a place, though, when it comes to, like, even with work or my coworkers, that maybe I probably invited more than I deserve because of, you know, my personality, you know, because I like to get things done, and I tend to just, like, go full steam ahead and, you know, then often get stopped with a brick wall. So I'm definitely trying to change that without losing the integrity of what it is I'm supposed to be doing. But in most cases, I find myself solving or people depending on me to solve their problems, but then there's no one who I could depend on to help me solve mine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know people are allowed to fail. I mean,
right,
I mean, you don't, I mean, if it's, people are afraid to fail, you know, and, you know, sometimes, oh, I don't know, my godmother is this way. She feels that she has to do everything because nobody else will do it. If she doesn't do it, it won't get done. Well, is it something that directs her, you know, is it something that will affect her directly? Is it something that will keep her from doing what she's supposed to do? 9 times out of 10, it's no. It's like, well, then don't do it. But if I don't do it, it won't happen. It won't get done. It's like, and who will suffer the consequences? So-and-so and so-and-so. Well, then let them suffer. They didn't step up and do it. It's their responsibility, their fault. Let them fail. Let them suffer the consequences of them not doing what they're supposed to do. And don't feel bad about it. Because it's not your responsibility.
Yes. She was kind of crazy, too. I mean, sometimes you get criticized for doing certain things and giving advice. People are maybe not doing anything. I mean, I know my two daughters, I get criticized quite a bit when I don't do anything, when I'm just allowing them to actually figure out something on their own, and that's a hard thing to do when it comes to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Just go, okay, you have to let them fall so they can actually learn how to pick themselves up. It's amazing how people jump on my case about their thing and going, you know, you should just go in there and just save them. And I just don't feel like if I keep saving them that they're ever going to always, they'll probably be always expecting someone to do that. Now, the one thing I have working against me in some ways is I have a couple of brothers who are doing the same thing she was talking about her godmother, where they just come in and they feel like if they don't do something, you know, nothing's ever going to happen or that someone's going to get hurt or that kind of stuff. And I think sometimes it's something within themselves where they feel like they got to do that, but I've always feel like there's like a 50-50% in some ways where they're also doing it because they like the attention. And it's kind of hard to point that out to people you know and to people that are in your family because you never know how they're going to react to that one, which I have a tendency to get pretty well blasted a lot because I have a tendency to speak my mind all the time. But I've always learned one thing about speak my mind. Now, that actually gets some great results, too. Not it happened today, but I've had some things come back. I can see them. Sometimes with family, they're not going to tell you either. But
Are you able to pull any cards for me or my family?
For your family?
Regarding my family, whether my children or my siblings.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I can pull some cards for you. Okay, I'm trying to put this the right way. Your family, your brothers, your sisters, that family, not your kids and stuff. I mean, what is your first reaction to your family?
Betrayal, strife.
Yeah, it was one of those intensities I could pick up really hard, too. It was the idea of some betrayal, but I can also pick up some guilt with you, too, where you feel like you haven't done enough. I think you've exceeded yourself on some of the things. Would you agree?
Yes, I haven't done enough for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'll understand, you know, try to look at the guilt and just look at the situation and look at it as just a place to start. Look at the things that you feel like you neglected yourself on, and just use that as a guideline to figure out where to start at and start changing that. I feel like you got a lot of connection. Well, maybe you should change the idea, a lot of cords connected to your family that actually make you, well, it would help you be more efficient with yours.
What do you mean?
The first card I picked up was the idea of there's showing in the month, next month, this month, there's showing opportunities to improve your plans on the idea of what you can do. This is kind of funny how the first card came out was the idea of changing some plans, but definitely acknowledging the plans you have to keep going forward. And it's just the idea of reorchestrating it just a little bit. It says listen to your intuition on how to have more accurate guidance, which means it's the idea there's certain things that you put off by not speaking your mind, and it shows that a lot of those things are learning lessons for others, but also they're talking about listening to the advice that you give to others, because the advice that you're giving also details to your own life. Because it says face your fears and grow stronger. You know, sometimes when you give advice to people and you're really helping people out, you still have a little bit of insecurity too there that you're not either you're missing something, you're not giving them enough, when you have to understand that the guidance that you give is the guidance that they're giving you. You can't do any more than that. No one will do anything you want them to do. Okay, it's the guidance you give them. And I just feel like we have a very strong sense of respect for ourselves. We have a tendency to realize it more, that we're just a messenger, we're delivering the messages. But also on the same token, listen to the advice you're giving. How does it reflect you? Because I've seen that to get more effect out of these things is what we do for ourselves. That was your first card. Number two, which is actually the four. Well, that was the 18. 18 has been coming up quite a bit today because it's the 18th. And I was actually looking because I left my angel book at that. My angel numbers at the shop, but 18, to me, I always try to knock things down to single digits, and that's a 9.
Mm-hmm.
And a 9 to me is basically reaffirming that you've just completed a cycle in your life. That's why you're focusing on things that you should change. Things are coming to the light. So they're just saying, you know, regroup, take a deep breath, look at the situations and go, okay. Don't try to choose which one. I think sometimes the easiest way to do this, I've actually taught people to do this, is to get a pad and pencil and just write down things. And then after you write them down, then kind of look at the page and see what kind of jumps out at you first. This will give you insights on what you should start with first, you know?
Okay.
Even with goals and starting businesses and that kind of stuff, when you start putting down things, so that's how a lot of people, they want to start a business, but they're so focused on what's going to be successful. They don't realize that realistically the ideal success is how successful you are within yourself.
Okay.
And then you'll realize that when all those choices you thought were choices to start a business, it starts singling down a little bit, and you start realizing, okay, what is your passion? What do you love? It might be something you might look on the list and say, can I really make a living at it? It's the idea of focusing on, anytime you focus on your passion, what you really love, what you really want to do, I guarantee you're going to be successful because you're going to feel good about yourself. And then it's going to be infinity. The symbol is just a reflection of everything we do. You know, when we love our business and we love what we're doing, we love what we're doing and the service we give to others, you can see all those little infinity connections to all those people and situations, your business, and you basically, in the idea of loving yourself, you've attracted everything else that reflects that. So therefore, people are not just learning from the things that you give and the things you do or even your business. They learn from you directly and what you've done. I mean, if you're a person that steps out and your family's never even thought about having a business and you step out and do it, and that's going to change a lot of people's perceptions of what they can do just by what you did for yourself. The Emperor is the next card that came up, and it's kind of crazy when you start telling people, especially women, to start focusing on your masculine side. Have that focus. Okay? Focus. They have some kind of... you focus on the masculine side, which I think is your left side. the materialistic side, but it's the idea of when you get balance between the left and the right, spiritual and physical, then you start really focusing on what your wants, needs, and desires are, and not to what the world tells you. But you have to have that balance between the two. So the Emperor came up. Also the Four is another number that's very strong, I can feel, where it's the ideal that it's the connections you create with people. That, how do we put this, the connections that you create with people really make you feel good about yourself, and the ideal even being more outgoing, putting down the resistance, and sharing more of yourself to the point where when you do help other people, you'll stop looking at the side of the negative side of it. And start realizing that you are just who you are. And the more you embrace yourself, the more you're just sharing with other people. And it can be draining. But see, in the draining part, people have a tendency to get drained in this kind of work because they're overcompensating of their own, they don't feel like they're giving enough. And realistically, that's a reflection back. If you don't think you're in the idea of helping other people and that kind of stuff, you don't feel like you're giving enough to other people, that's a reflection back that you're not giving enough to yourself. That you did help. And you did make a difference. You're not always going to see, and one thing I know about this business too, you're not always going to see those differences. Okay? But when you have a really strong sense of yourself, mm-hmm. and you feel good about yourself, you love yourself, there's something about those connections you make with other people that you know down the road, it's going to happen. And then just sit there and know that you did do, and you did give. And it was just the amount. It's like telling people all the time, you know, hey, you can only give what you got. You can't give any more than who you are. And when you start focusing on the guidance that's coming through to help other people, that's when you don't feel drained. You're just allowing the information to come through you. I'm trying to make that make sense, because it's like when we overcompensate and we try, that's when our human self starts kicking in. That's why we get exhausted. You know, we're pushing it. But when you sit there and focus on the spiritual self, you know, it just flows through you like water. And the people usually have a tendency to get it and embrace it more. You know, because you'll see certain times when you're sitting talking to people and they kind of lose interest. Realistically, what has happened is they've got the message. It's you to get the message and to, at that time to let go. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense.
Look at number three. And see, the third one here is the eight of Raphael. The Raphael, it says, you know, realistically, you look at the situation and lay down your resistance, it keeps talking about there's something better waiting for you. That means let go of certain patterns, certain people, certain situation, and then there's something better waiting for you. It's the idea of the things you're still hanging on to. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So do what you know is right for you. And you can't go wrong, because, I mean, sure, there's selfish people, okay, I got it. But realistically, when you really do, and you do know what is right for you, and you do the right thing, and you follow your heart, it has a tendency to benefit everybody in a very positive way. Always. It's just a spiritual quest to get away from the idea of what the world says and the idea of what their definition is. Because they have a perception and there's totally different. They're totally different things. Because when you actually go and do follow your heart, it awakens a lot of things within you spiritually to realize that, you know, you haven't been doing a lot of things for yourself in the right way. You've been doing it because of what people think or say or what people might think and say. So you've basically been putting your true intentions to the side. And this card is basically looking at the situation. There's a bridge in front of you. But realistically, the bridge is an illusion, and it's always been something, because I've seen this before, two people that look down at the creek, they say, freak, I see a river. I said, okay, take a deep breath, look at it again. It's a creek. And they don't see the bridge, and they can actually walk across it. They just have to sit there and be a little bit, you know, constructive about which rock to jump to, but it becomes very simple for them. because they're actually listening to themselves what they really should be doing and following their path. And usually following your path means following your heart. You follow your heart, it connects to your chakras, your aura. You feel really good about yourself. Something about you has raised your frequency. Your vibration is higher. And just everything starts changing. And you also have a sense within yourself that you've never had before. And now you want to keep going forward because you want to feel more of that. Okay?
Exactly.
Christina.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to do that. I can make me feel this. Yes, sir. Okay. Anything else you want to say?
Well, I'm not the psychic one here, so I'm going to ask a question. How old are your children?
I have a 15-year-old, a 19-year-old, and a 27-year-old.
And how well do they relate to each other?
They're all three different. You know, my youngest one is a handful now. He's the one that wants to do everything that we don't want him to do. You know, he's very athletic and he's outgoing and he's going through his little changes of trying to fit in with the crowd, and I have to monitor the crowd and keep trying to redirect him. My middle one doesn't relate to either of them. They're just all three different individuals. My older one, he just stays to himself, and he really went into a shell. My mother died. It'll be 3 years, and he took her death hard. And you know, I'm just trying to just get them to regroup. I know they saw me go through a lot, too, since my mother died with my sibling. And I think we're all still just reeling from the shock. So they're all in three different places now. You know, I'm trying to teach them not to be envious of each other, be supportive of each other, because I don't want them to turn out the same way, you know, what happened with myself and my brothers and sisters.
My next question was going to be, is that the same kind of relationship you have with your brothers and sisters?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because your brothers and sisters
and you taught your children how to relate to each other as siblings.
Well, I think my children are a little bit closer because I keep them as close as I possibly can. They're just different ages. They're at different ages and at different stages.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas my brothers and sisters, they just turned into just absolute monsters when my mother died. It became all about money and a really nasty mm-hmm. battle of state, and there's no resolution to that right now. And
yeah, that unfortunately is not a abnormal situation. That runs through so many families all the time. It's really sad.
I really never could have imagined it happening to my family. It contradicts everything my parents try to teach us and
mm-hmm.
what they used to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making a big mess of things. So the situation that I go through, anytime I sense or I see or I hear anything that resembles that, I try to redirect them and let them say, no, no matter what, put nothing between you guys. Even though you might think this one is not doing enough, or you're the only one that's trying to go to school and, you know, you're doing this and you're doing that, don't judge your brothers and sisters. I mean, your brothers, always be supportive of them, because, you know, I know what it felt to have my family, you know, reject me and shut me out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want my children to grow up and be envious and competitive with one another to the point that they don't support each other, especially when things get rough and critical.
Mhm. Now, do all three of them live? I mean, your older ones, do they live close by?
All my three kids are in the same house with me. My older one lives downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I want to keep them close as long as I possibly can, because I know they're all dealing with everything. They're all dealing with it. They're hurt. by the rejection that they received from my family.
Mm-hmm.
My mom died, and my mom was close with us here, so we've pretty much been shut out. And, you know, I just had to pick up and keep going, and I'm trying to let them see that no matter what the world or whoever throw at you, you got to still try and, you know, keep your head up, chin up, and keep going. Eventually it'll work out. Even when I don't believe it or when I'm feeling doubt, I still want my kids to see that I still have to persevere regardless of what, and I want them to learn from that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Some of those things keep going. And I was just thinking about the ideal of my family. You know, there's been two particular, my sister and my brother, where we were, wasn't, I mean, my sister and me have always been close. We've always had some kind of connection. I think it's because of a long time ago, we were in a major drowning accident together, which is kind of funny. My mom was pregnant with her, but we've always had this strong connection. But some of those relationships have actually developed even more deeper after we all left, got out on our own. So
my sisters, I never really had a strong relationship with them, but my two brothers, my older brother and my younger brother, I was close with them, and they're the main ones who really, they ran back into town, and they just allowed havoc to take place. They pretty much turned their back on me, and it never made sense. They turned their back on me, and they went to the person who did a lot of damage while my mom was here, and even after she was gone. And now, you know, in most cases, they expect me to clean up the mess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say something that probably won't be popular, but don't. Step back and don't.
You said sit back and don't?
And don't clean up the mess.
No, I'm not. You know, if anything, what he said to me earlier with the guilt part,
mm-hmm.
I could have came out swinging. From a legal
mm-hmm.
standpoint, I actually allowed them to all play their hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at a place right now, you know, after the dust settles and if we have to go before the judges, I'm just, like, ready to just let them know this is where I stand legally, where I stand in terms of the morals and everything that has been done and, you know, just where they have everything at this point. That
mm-hmm.
I should not be in the middle of this mess. Actually, I've been robbed. I've been taken advantage of because I honestly just stopped. I stopped and I let them do whatever it was that they intended to do, and it's at a point right now where, okay, so now you've messed everything up because you did not even want to hear anything from me.
Okay.
Let's just settle this. This has to be done now. And I'm not taking a short end of a stick.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have not done, they pretty much silenced me. They pretty much ganged up on me, really, which made no sense. It was like I didn't even know them. They became
mm-hmm.
like total strangers to me. Total strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? That would be a good subject to sit down with all three of your children and talk about. Sit down
they
together.
Know, we talk about it. We
and
talk
say,
about
if
it.
Something were to happen to me, if I were to go like Grandma did, you know, what would you do? How would you handle it? You know, because it's going to be you three. What, you know, you saw what happened when Grandma died. And what it's done to the family. How can you guys avoid that? And they're going to have to air out their grievances. Because if they don't do it now when you're there,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be worse when you're gone.
Mm.
You know, help them make a plan. Help them understand that, you know, it could happen to them too. I mean, the reality is that unless they deal with the things that they're now, mm-hmm. when you're there to help mediate, it's going to save them a whole lot of grief and trouble later on, like you're learning now.
Yeah, it's been a very difficult lesson to learn. But I talked to
him about it. Because you really want to freak them out. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were to die tomorrow or the next day or in the next 2 weeks, you got a 15-year-old?
Yes.
That 15-year-old's going to need a legal guardian. You want to freak them out? Tell a 27-year-old that they're going to be the legal guardian. So, hello. They might want to fix some relationship issues there. Forget the age differences.
Right, right.
So.
Well, I definitely talk to them. I want them to have a completely different mindset on it. You know, I think pretty much they've been shocked and traumatized by what I had to go through, because they went through it as well, because they were close with my mother. And then it was like she died, and it was like we didn't even exist. Everyone else who had nothing or that relationship with my mother all came out the woodwork over in the state. And they're just letting it sink.
And if they don't have a strong relationship with each other, mm-hmm. then the same thing is going to happen to them when you go. So now's the time to fix that. And plus, I'm sorry, 27-year-old living in your basement? Come on, Mom. Let him, I know you want to keep them close, but...
And, you know, he really doesn't want to be here. He wants to be on his own. It's just so expensive, and I know that.
Mm-hmm.
He was on his own before in school.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just working now and I guess trying to get himself together. He's not a bad person. He's just a slob. Yeah, he's quiet. He bothers no one, you know.
Yeah.
Besides myself. He's just a slob and can't go in his room. Oh, God. I'm like, what's going on in your mind? But I know he's had it.
You stand in the doorway and you look at him, you look at the room, and you say, you know what? This room shows me how much you love and respect me. The love and respect I feel when I look in this room is overwhelming.
No. You know, the one thing I was thinking about when she was talking about it was when I was at home, I remember going into town with my mom, and I was looking for a job, so I was filling applications on it, and she said something to me once, I forget what it was, but I slammed the door the car, and she told me flat out, if I slammed the door one more time, I was going to be walking home. And I slammed the door one more time and ended up walking 5 miles home. But it was kind of funny that I realized at that moment that I found a solution to get home, that I wasn't helpless, I wasn't stranded, that I had my feet. And I sat there and walked home, and that was a really powerful message for me, that when you start, you know, focusing on, it's hard to do with your kids, to sit there and go, okay, you go out there and do the whole thing. And even the things of jobs, and it's hard out there and that kind of stuff, but it's going to continue to be hard out there unless they actually are put in a situation where they can find the solution to actually be, I mean, I've actually worked with women who are focusing on getting child support and started realizing that going to court, the guy had a control over them, and then they decided to take a stand and walk away from the whole thing, which everybody come and tell them that's crazy. He owes you the money. And she came to the point of saying, well, I'm not responsible for him and what he has to do, but I am responsible for what's going on now, and we're failing because we're sitting around dependent upon somebody else. When she started focusing on depending on herself, her kids went from being on welfare to the idea of really thriving, and they actually moved into a house that they actually bought. And she did it as a single mother. So, you know, it's amazing how single mothers portray, too, of being hopeless situations, where I've actually met people who have actually changed those situations, too, and actually are thriving and actually realize that not just the husbands were controlling them, but the government and everything that goes along with it. And they just got tired of it after a while, and they just walked out. And it was hard to do. They went through a lot of things. My mom went through that. When we, when she divorced my dad, she ended up working at a freaking a place called Giovanni's, which was basically a beer joint with a pizza place in it. And that's what she did for a while. But then she went back to school, got her GED. Well, she actually went to school and got her diploma and went to college. And she was still taking care of us, still going to work, going to school, doing the whole thing. I never hardly ever saw her, but what she did and her actions made me who I was to go out there and start focusing on.
Well, that's what I'm waiting for my son to see, because actually when I had my oldest one, I was a single mom, and it forced me to stand up on my grab myself on my bootstraps and go to school. And you know, I've been pushing ever since until, you know, I got married and I had my other two children. I want my children to be close with me at this point, because I don't have a family. I only have them and my husband. And I want us to remain as close-knit as possible and just, you know, get through all our feelings and issues together. I definitely don't want us to separate and spread apart, because I think that drove a wedge through my own family. And it took the passing of my mother for me to learn just how separate we were and divided, you know, how all our lives were so different. And, you know, my mother taught me to be independent and to depend on myself. I couldn't depend on her. You know, I understand, like, my son is 27 years old, but I don't want him to leave at this point. I just want him to get his head in the right place, get himself together, and move forward. You know, because he's straddling student loans and, you know, things like that.
I'm just saying, that point where you start getting that feeling that he has to move on, don't hesitate to follow through, because you're doing him a favor, really.
Right, I understand that. Believe me, I understand that. There's times that I tell him that he's going to have to if he doesn't change or whatever, but really the change in, like you said, the room and all of that, but, you know, he's going through the same type of issues that I'm going through. I know it because I see it. Yeah, they're all, like, grieving in their own little way. But the person who gave me the most concern is my 15-year-old. He is just like, oh, he thinks he's the only person on the planet.
Oh, he's 15.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that's just being 15.
I know. The word no doesn't exist. I just want to protect him as long as I possibly can. And when
no doesn't exist, and he's immortal and invincible.
We've all been there.
Yeah,
we're all that age, and we're all like that at some point.
That's why I said to my daughter, reminded her every freaking day what no was.
Mhm.
And for the first time, she wore makeup. I told her she couldn't wear makeup. We actually sit down and had an agreement that she wouldn't wear makeup until she was 16. But when she's 15, her friends were saying, if you put lipstick on, he's not going to say anything. I heard him talking. I already heard this conversation coming. So she came walking out of there. I looked right at her and said, walk back in there, take it off. You're not wearing makeup. We both had an agreement on this one. We both agreed. All I heard was her walking back in the bathroom and telling her friends, told you. You know, like, she knew. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but you got to keep reminding them. Sure, they're going to get resistant, but, you know, well, one thing about my kids, they talk about the discipline they had, and they didn't forget, you know? And they reminded them of a lot of things. Like I said before, it doesn't always happen at that moment. But it does resonate with him, so just keep reinforcing and keep doing the right thing.
I have, I'm waiting for a decision from the court. And I haven't been holding my breath on it, but it's like, you know, I wanted to see it resolved. It's like almost 3 years. And I know that there's going to be a whole bunch of financial situations just getting slammed on us. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
it has affected everything. I know that. And the kids know about it. So we've been under this strain ever since she died. That I could never imagine this, you know, it happening. So the kids pick up on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just hope that all these things that you've learned because of that, that you now are taking a proactive, you know, stance, and you're doing things that will, you know, help your kids through it when something happens to you. You know, make sure there's the right documentation. Make sure there's the right, you know, things in place so that it won't be such a hard transition for them. It won't be so, you know,
traumatic.
Financially difficult. And because there are things you can do now that will make that, you know, their grieving process easier. I mean, it might sound morbid, but, you know.
No, I understand. I mean, I'm not trying to go anywhere now.
No, I know.
I know what you're saying. I do. Believe me, I know exactly what you're saying, because I would never want them to have to go through this.
Mm-hmm.
And we all think that we have time. We all think we have time to take care of that, or it will resolve itself. And, you know, we unfortunately do not control that timing. So, you know, it may be just as easy as writing letters, you know, easy as having copies of things. Just, you know, take everything, all the hurt, all the pain, all the uncertainties that you're dealing with now, and put them in the future case scenario. And what can you do to keep that history from repeating itself?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think that will free you up in so many ways, mentally, spiritually, physically, that you can move on. Because it, you know, because to me that'd be a tribute to your mother. And you know, Mom, this happened because we weren't prepared. We didn't focus on what was important. We didn't plan, you know, for this to happen. We were arrogant in thinking that we're all immortal and we'll live forever. I don't want this to happen to my children. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to prevent this hurt and this confusion from happening to my children.
Yeah. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't.
No, I was just saying, I'm immortal. I feel like that, okay? So,
and you've heard that every day when you text me and tell me you fell down. You're okay.
I'm still alive.
Yeah. I get these text messages saying, I don't want to tell you this, but I fell down again. I was like, are you okay? Oh, yeah.
Well, the last time we did that, you were on the phone when I got up and I fell backwards. So, yeah. And you sit there and go, what, you said, oh, shit, you fell down? I'm like, no, I didn't, what? Not me, you know. Yeah, I fell down. But like I was saying, you know, being immortal doesn't mean it's going to be painless.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you don't stop falling down. But, you know, no, I get the point. But the situation
is... And the 15-year-old needs to do something for other people. If he's driving you nuts thinking about, if he's constantly me, 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 I, get his butt volunteered somewhere.
There's an organization that his athletic director belonged to. They're like a teen organization that does community service and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get him involved in that, or the junior ROTC at his school. But, of course, he doesn't want to do the junior ROTC because it's not the cool thing, you
mm-hmm.
know. And he plays sports. But I told him, I said, if he didn't bring up his grade and he found himself ineligible, then he would
mm-hmm.
definitely either have to get a job or go, you know, join the ROTC. So he's been singing on, like, you know, he's bringing up his grades and he's doing X, Y, and Z. I'm like, well, you're going to make the decision. Either way, you're going to have to do something. But the teen, the teen group, it's community service oriented, and we're looking to have him take part in that because I know he's just trying to navigate his way through things. And then, you know, he tends the friends that he like are usually older friends who are always trying to manipulate, you know, or at least get him to do things that, you know, I wouldn't want him to do. You know,
mm-hmm.
like he had a friend that came over that was going to spend the night with him, and then he comes to me and said, oh, well, we want to have company. These girls coming over, no. But they're coming over, no. You know, and I mean, I must have said no like 10 times, and the kid was here. And I said, no, I'm not having that. He could come. You guys play games and the whole nine yards, but the girls are not coming sitting up in my house where I look like I'm running a hotel. And you know, and I told him no. So the friend is still in, and all of a sudden he says to me, "Oh, he's leaving." I said, "Good." And the friend left, and it was so funny because I said, the friend realized that he couldn't come to my house, and they have, you know, their little, I guess, date in my living room. Please, but that friend left, and it just dawned on me just how easy it is for him to be influenced by others. So I pretty much always have to try to, if I see him going left, pull him back right. If I see him going right, pull him back in the middle.
Oh.
You can't blink with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely want to get him involved in with his peers, positive peer interactions. I'm working on it. I'm working on it through the coaching staff and, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever I can, just to keep them together.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been trying to understand all three of their needs, and all three of their needs are so unique. It's like
mm-hmm.
a puzzle. At the same time, getting to know myself all over again.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, just keep working on it. It's one of those things, it's just a growing thing, you know, learning. I'm going to get going on to another caller because I'm not sure.
Sure, no problem. I appreciate you spending so much time, and I definitely have to go back and listen in the archive to take my notes when my brain is fresh.
Okay. No problem. I'll tell Christina, too.
Thank you, Christina.
For some reason, her call was dropped. I'm not sure why, but.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it. God bless.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for calling tonight, and you have a great weekend, okay?
You too as well.
Bye-bye now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to area code 203. Hello, how are you? Hello? Area code 203, welcome to the show, and how are you? Area code 203? You're on the air. Hello, welcome. Hello? 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 Okay. So, let's go to this one person here, 225 area code. How are you doing today? Hello?
Oh, I'm chilling. I'm chilling. Chilling, listening.
No, that's okay. We're down to... Actually, you're like the last caller, so I just wanted to make sure that you were good, and because we're fixing to actually end the show and that stuff, I just want to make sure if maybe you had a question or something. If not, that's okay.
No. Good advice.
Well, thank you. help you show up for other shows.
Huh?
I'm hoping to do more shows and stuff like that, so thank you for the encouragement and the compliments. It's really great.
Yeah.
So you like the show and everything? Huh?
Yeah, you're so communicable. You know, I mean, you really communicate really, really well. You and your guests all kind of blend and, you know, have different views, but sometimes, you know, people, they need that and they need to listen.
Oh, you're talking about my co-host, right? You're talking about the co-host I have with me.
Yeah, your co-host. You know, I mean, I like to listen to you guys. You both come from different points, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it makes sense. And I just, you know, appreciate the way you help people navigate through stuff in a gentle way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She has a way of motivating me too, maybe. So that's good, okay?
Yeah. Y'all have skills, what we call them, skills.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to be going now, but Nick, thank you for calling, and we'll be back here Tuesday. You have a good night, okay?
You too.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.